We talk about trade season. Dan gives a wonderful viewing guide for the Christmas Day games. And I've got a story to tell. That and more coming up right now on this episode of No Cap Room. Hello, friends. Welcome back to No Cap Room here on the Ball Don't Lie podcast network from Yahoo Sports. My name is Jake Fisher. I am a senior NBA reporter at our website, and I'm coming to you from Orlando, Florida. Joining me as always, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, it is my man, your man, everyone's man, Dan Devine. Hopefully back to 100% after, let's say, a non-COVID illness this week. How you feeling, buddy?
Right. I was DNP pukes and poops. Not ideal. Not an ideal set of circumstances for your boy over here. I was prepared for you to say what is up, and my answer is going to be thankfully nothing that I've eaten for the last 48 to 60 hours or so.
There you go.
So that's good. Everybody's looking for, innovative ways to drop some weight during the holiday season, you know, and I found one, and that was really, really, really great.
How much weight did you drop?
It definitely didn't throw a giant monkey wrench into everything going on here this week. So, but the good news is that's past me. It was the question, how much weight did I drop?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lady never tells, but it wasn't great, but it was helpful, you know, in some pants fittings. So that's good. Yeah, we are past that. Thank you to everybody who reached out with cards and letters and emails and prayers, just hoping, you know, trying to will me back to full strength. I'm here as full of strength as I get. So I'm back, and we can do a podcast, and we can prepare for the NBA Christmas Day quintuple header and all else that goes around with that. But first, Jake, you, as you said, you're coming to us from Orlando, Florida. Curious, what's going on in Orlando, Florida?
The G League showcase is here, as well as every single front office executive known to man. That's not true. Not everybody. But a lot of people. Saw Daryl Morey walking around yesterday, fresh off a new contract extension. Arturis Karnisovas and Mark Eversley, as they always are, walking around, attached at the hip, just checking out potential 10-day guys.
Fresh off being good without Zach LaVine.
Yeah, it is. That has definitely been one of the things people have talked about. One of the things people have talked about to go super grim has been the player who's not here for the Stockton Kings who committed a felony. But that's neither here nor there for this podcast. We are not touching that subject matter. It has just been a really wild story that's kind of hanging over this week, and the Kings didn't play until they're going to play tonight. I would have to think part of that is because just like, woof.
Yeah. And if you are unfamiliar with the story, we have coverage of it on Yahoo Sports. You have the story regarding Chance Comanche, and it's a pretty grisly story, but it's, if you want the details, you can check it out on the website. We aren't going to get into it here today.
I'm just going to say dating a woman whose father is a defense attorney has also laid a different perspective to me whenever there's like a crime unfolding. What a weird way to just, I don't know. I was expecting to like tell the police everything upon arrest was a choice, but go read it on yahoosports.com.
Dating a woman who's that is a defense attorney also sounds like I want to talk to you a lot more about that, but maybe not, maybe off mic.
It's fascinating. He has so many stories of so many clients who are doing everything they can to extend their jail sentences when he's trying to help them not do that. So anyway, speaking of jail sentences, Zach LaVine might be stuck in Chicago forever. Just kidding.
Oh!
No, I mean, I think one of the things people are here to do, and I think today, like to everyone, things started Tuesday. Reunions, games, G League Ignite played, the entire NBA, I think, was wrapped around that court and not any hyperbole at all. Like, they played the Canton Charge or Cleveland Charge, whether it's Cleveland or Canton, I don't know anymore because they're
Pete Nance's team, right?
Pete Nance's team. I do believe Pete Nance, there's been some rumblings that Pete Nance could be getting a two-way upgraded when the Cavs convert Craig Porter Jr., their undrafted two-way steal. So good for Pete Nance if that comes to fruition.
Younger brother of Larry Nance Jr., just so everybody's aware of that.
Son of Larry Nance Sr., if everyone's aware of that. That's true. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are here to watch
some talent and check out potential players to sign to a 10-day to add to a two-way if openings happen. But there's also a ton of people here who are wanting to talk about trade season, and this can effectively function as the NBA's version of winter meetings, which one person said to me the other day, we need to lean into that. Like, the NBA's got to market this, and we need to have like stand-up interviews with these GMs coming out and being like, hey, how's the chatter out there today? I don't know if that's the case, but it's the rumors are flying. So do we want to dive into that, or do you have anything to say as I've been talking for like 3 minutes?
No, the main thing that I'm interested in is like which agent becomes the Scott Boras of that, like setting up, holding court and being like, here's my, you know, I've had my writer's room working out all the, the pitches and the lines that I can drop, the gems and the bars about my clients. You know, it doesn't necessarily seem like Rich Paul's style, so I'm wondering who would fill that role, but, you know, maybe dare to dream. Yes, let's market and sort of systematize and eventize everything on the NBA calendar. Go from the in-season tournament to the winter meetings to Christmas to MLK Day to trade deadline to, I don't know, the Valentine's Day to All-Star Weekend to post-season in-season tournament. So I'm sure TBD coming to play-in tournament to play. Yeah, there will not be more than a week and a half stretch where there's not a big, you know, big branding, you know, excitement going on somewhere. I'm looking forward to our benighted future. Tell me about what's going on trade season wise, Jake.
So I have a couple of questions I'm going to pose to you, being that like this is how I am kind of going about my rumor mongerings. Like, oh, let's take some data we know, a data point we know to be true, and let's ask people what they think will come from that data point. So the first thing, I wrote about it yesterday, you know, as the league is in this new era, you mentioned the play-in tournament, where every team outside of the very, very, very bottom can convince themselves they are a move or here or two away from getting to the 10 seed and winning two games. And, oh, we could be the Miami Heat and make it to the finals. That's something that is a serum that everyone is drinking and thinking there's truth to it. But I don't know if that's the case for all these teams. So that being said, teams are like searching and hoping to find sellers. And when the Cleveland Cavaliers lose Darius Garland for a month due to a facial fracture and Evan Mobley to arthroscopic left knee surgery, there's definitely a little glimmer of hope in rival front offices that, hey, that guy, Donovan Mitchell, who definitely wanted to go to New York, who definitely didn't want to go to Cleveland, maybe he is going to be on the market. And I'm here to tell you that that does not seem to be the case at this moment. The Cavs are giving their middle finger to everyone who's calling. He's our boy. Back off our boy. And I am curious to see, like, what they can do to add to this group now, because that's clearly what they're standing at. Now, there was an article at Yahoo Sports that came out yesterday, like we mentioned, that included the fact that Cleveland was talking about buyouts with or buyout structures with Ricky Rubio, or they were going to try to trade him. Then a couple hours later, there was another report about that didn't really reference the Yahoo Sports article that came out 3 hours before that.
The game is the game.
I'm curious, Dan. You know, Ricky Rubio's salary is only really about $6 million. Is that what do you, I mean, they need guard help, but that's with Darius Garland out. If you're thinking about this long term, is there anything with Cleveland that, because you spent a lot of time watching Darius Garland, is there anything with Cleveland that you think they could really benefit from at like a salary below the mid-level exception, but above the minimum?
So I think the challenge is that if you're fully committed to Mitchell, which again, it sounds like they are, and you have at least a blueprint toward functional play in a one big one point guard system, which they do. It's you need to you lean into Jared Allen as the pick and roll, pick and roll hub. You get the shooters on the court with Max Drew, Sam Merrill coming up from the G League and suddenly playing like a huge role for them and shooting the lights out. Isaac Okoro again, being back in the mix and, providing that sort of second, more defensive oriented, larger two guard in there's a structure there for solid, if nothing else. And if you're just trying to get through a month, then yeah, I mean, you're looking at, there's also you basically look at functionally, can we get another Ty Jerome, like another guy who is that order of steady backup. And I don't know necessarily what the market would bear for that, who's available at that level. But I would imagine if the Cavs are saying, if they're representing where we consider stable a viable position, we are even with everything still, a top six team in the East. We are, a game out of fourth. We are one stretch of good luck and Donovan Mitchell averaging 35 points away from being a home court advantage team in the East. Like, then all you're looking for is just 10 minutes of backup point guard play. And yeah. I think the money for that, or I know that their pick coffers are down because of the Mitchell trade. So I don't know that they would be able to make a bigger move than that, but who out there strikes you as somebody that's in that marketplace? That's like a backup point guard kind of, stopgap set of hands.
One name coming to mind right now is another Mitchell who wears 45. If he still wears that number, Davion Mitchell. He's definitely Davion available Mitchell. In Sacramento. And it'd be fun to have the two Mitchells, the two D Mitchells together. That'd be interesting.
Be brutal for everybody who's box score watching, trying to figure out what's what. Davion has wound up on the outside looking into that rotation. Keon Ellis has played really well in Sacramento, kind of assumed that role. And Mike Brown said, we're going to keep giving him that opportunity and Davion's going to have to earn his way back into the mix. Hasn't really happened to a significant degree yet. That's an interesting one. And I imagine also Davion Mitchell is with a kind of player who's sort of in between up team's future plans, right? Like the way that the Kings' future has moved over the last couple of years, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's got to be a huge part of it. So this would be an opportunity for, if you're the Kings, to look at it and say, if you turn him into something that is potentially future looking, a second round pick or something like that, and give him an opportunity to kind of sing for his supper before he becomes, eligible for his next deal, could be something that benefits both parties. But and another, we had talked earlier in the season about Craig Porter Jr., who you just mentioned maybe being converted, that like him being a source of juice and physicality and energy and defensive action off the bench there, that was really helpful in the non-Garland minutes or when he was hurt earlier in the season. Which also, just to clarify, Jake's point about you spent a lot of time watching Darius Garland. It was my one preseason thing, my one reporting preseason thing. I'm just mostly a couch dude. And I was like, I have an idea. The Cavs are going to be in Brooklyn. I'm going to go talk to Darius Garland. Because here's my hypothesis coming off of last season, most underrated guy in the NBA. And I did I talked to some people. I did some research. I did some stats. I did some video. I got Garland for a few minutes, had a piece all ready to go. And he has just not been able to stay on the court consistently since then. So Cavaliers, I am sorry. Fans of Cleveland, I am sorry. I know there's plenty of things that have gone wrong for Cleveland sports franchises. This one is on me. If it makes you feel any better, I got like 2,000 words of pretty good stuff that's just never going to see the light of day. But we'll do what we can with it. I think that the challenge now is like, the longer range thing is if they go through that next month, right? Like say the glass half full case comes out and they get what I just talked about. Donovan goes nuts. Jared Allen as the number one role guy goes back to that all-star level he was a couple of seasons ago. Strus is hitting threes. George Niang is hitting threes. Sam Merrill keeps going. They get that sort of juice and the energy and the flow back. Having an actual consistent core for 10, 15 games in a row without somebody going in and out of the lineup, and they win some games. Then you get Garland back like right before the trade deadline. And now the question is there a bigger deal that you got to start looking at and thinking about how things line up? Because as you mentioned, and in the piece you wrote, they can look and say, we've got that longer runway and more of a track record with Darius Garland. But if you look at it more recently and say, well, the last evidence we have of how it all works when all of our guys are together was really disappointing. And we've more recently had disappointing play when guys are together and everything clicks when we've sort of halved that equation. it, you know, raises a lot more questions, which is like for a team that wasn't good for forever and has now been 4 or 5 in the East for a couple of years, it's like an interesting place for them to be.
Yeah. They beat the pesky Houston Rockets on Monday night, who have been, have made no bones about the fact that they traded Kevin Porter Jr.'s contract away to try to, they were trying to get something then. They couldn't. So they instead took back Victor Oladipo's salary, and they're going to try to, they're going to try to do something with that. So they've got, he's about nine-ish, almost $10 million. Jock Landale, who signed a very unique deal, with Houston. See, we're just attacking all oxymorons as they come. He's got no guaranteed salary after this year, but his $8 million on the books for 2023-2024, you could combine that with Victor Oladipo to get up to $16 million. Is there something that you think these, I mean, the Rockets are right in the thick of the play-in tournament. Do you think that this Houston team that is not on the rise, but climbing the mountain little by little under new head coach Ime Udoka, what do you think the Houston Rockets should be targeting in that pretty decent salary range? 16-ish million can kind of get you a real starting level rotation player.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, my first thought with Ime, any Ime Udoka team is defense, right? And especially, you know, they just had the, I forget which game it was. Maybe it was against the Cavs the other night, but where Şengün goes out of the lineup late and Ime Udoka is talking about because it was for defensive reasons. You know, we weren't getting the drop, you know, the coverage that we needed. I didn't feel comfortable in having Şengün out there late in the game. Obviously, he's still going to be where the bread is buttered on the offensive end, like given what he's shown so far this season. But you do wonder if that's something where they look at it and say, you've got Şengün there, you've got Jeff Green there, Landale. Like, you know, do you need would you prefer to have somebody with more size? Because on the wing, they're jammed, right? There's Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, who's had an up and down season. And that's, you know, but I don't think that they're, I would be very surprised if they were ready to get off of Jalen Green or get out of the giving Jalen Green opportunity business. But with Brooks and Green and Tari Eason, you know, rising up the ranks and playing great, and Jayshon Tate, Amen Thompson, there's Cam Whitmore can't even see the floor. Like, there's so much.
He's here.
Wing.
Cam Whitmore's down here.
Yeah. So there's so much wing talent and depth that they've already got built up there. I'd be really surprised if they looked for another wing player. Fred VanVleet's going to play 40 minutes a night when it matters. So I think there's probably and Aaron Holiday has been a positive for them at the point of attack defensively. So I would wonder if it's a big, another, you know, but it, I mean, I guess the concern there would be potentially blocking Jabari Smith Jr. a little bit, but he's played well enough that I think he's going to earn his stripes no matter what. It's more like another a defensive changeup that you might feel better about than Landale or Jeff Green. But that's me spitballing off of, you know, sort of at the moment. Wait, have you heard any rumblings about where they might be looking?
No, that's why I asked and why I've asked some people here. I think the Rockets are still one of the teams that are like evaluating what we can add to this, you know? So I was just curious from your couch, who's watching many a game, many a night, if there was anything that you were lusting for the Rockets to add to their group here. But
I try to keep my lust at a minimum when I'm watching basketball.
That's the exact opposite approach of how I take it.
just lustfully watching basketball.
Yeah. The Atlanta Hawks are lusting for more success. They are still not very good.
They really aren't.
It's almost as if the players in the roster matter more than the coach. As good as Quinn Snyder is, as highly regarded as he is, I'm starting to continue to think, man, like, how much does coaching really matter in this league? And that's neither here nor there. The Hawks are being categorized as a buyer. You know, they've been linked to Pascal Siakam since the summer. There were serious talks there. They were looking to potentially move Clint Capella with those Dallas talks. DeAndre Hunter had, you know, they had conversations with him with Detroit and Indiana. I believe he was part of the Raptors conversations. But the DeJounte Murray and Trae Young pairing hasn't done what the Hawks were hoping it would be. Every team from, I think, it was a very thing in vogue between like 2019 and I guess 2022, all these teams were talking about, man, we've got a high volume 3-point shooter who does it off the dribble. Let's get him catch and shoot threes. Let's get Dame catch and shoot threes. Let's get James Harden catch and shoot threes. Let's get Trae Young catch and shoot threes. Guess what? Those guys don't want to play off the ball.
Right.
Trae Young has been a pick and roll maestro since he was 7 years old. He doesn't want to play off the ball. Steph Curry is an anomaly. He is not the rule. He is an exception. He is not the rule. So I'm wondering, because I believe it and know it to be true. If you called Atlanta right now and said, hey, what's it going to take for us to get DeJounte Murray? They're going to have to engage. They are going to listen. And they're going to be willing to do business. So I'm wondering, Dan, is there a team out there that you think should go out and try to get this guy who is not even in his prime yet, is a previous all-star, and he signed a 4-year extension this summer that seems super, super, super cost-effective for any team that has aspirations of winning a title in this new second apron cap era that is going to become even more restrictive once the summer begins.
Can I interest you in a Doug McDermott and Julian Champagne for DeJounte Murray deal that sends DeJounte Murray back to San Antonio with some pick equity going back to Atlanta? Bring him back. Give Victor Wembanyama a point guard. Yeah. Give Victor Wembanyama a point guard who is also a huge, spidery, long arm dude who fits in what they're trying to do defensively.
Hmm.
I understand that the vibes might not have been ideal when DeJounte Murray left San Antonio, and perhaps there were some hard feelings, and perhaps it wasn't. He didn't necessarily feel he could play all he could play while he was there. And, you know, there was maybe everybody's noses got out of joint at the moment of departure there. Time has passed. Time heals all wounds. Time shows us maybe where we have been a little bit more responsible for different things, for situations going awry than we might have initially thought. I think this is an opportunity maybe for two sides to come together and build something beautiful. Also, maybe
DeJounte,
it's a time of peace. It's a time of reconciliation.
It's the holidays.
It's the holidays, for God's
sake.
Get
under the mistletoe.
Yes. I mean, I'm like, yes, of course. Mistletoe. Pop, DeJounte,
yes.
Make out. but yeah, I mean, that's not a likely thing to happen, but I'm looking around.
What, making out or the trade happening?
I mean, listen, from your lips to God's ears. Well, you know, we appreciate love in all its forms here.
Pop's going to grab the microphone in the middle while DeJounte's at the foul line. Hey, this is what we do here.
Oh, but I mean, I don't know. That's reductive. I don't know. I look at the teams, you know, because he feels like the kind of team that, or the kind of player rather, that you'd say a contender looking to level up would want to go out and try to get him. I mean, I don't see any way that Milwaukee could get into that conversation.
They don't have anything.
They don't have the assets for it, right? I mean, it would be wonderful if they could, but they don't have the assets for it. Philly seems like they're good. You know, I mean,
Philly is the one I was going to bring up.
Okay, so talk to me about it.
I don't think they're going to want to go pursue him. I have not given any credence to that, except the Sixers, to go back similar to the Cat. Like, the Sixers need a backup point guard, and Patrick Beverley is doing a admirable job, but I think to really move this team's ceiling, and look, Joel Embiid just scored 51 points on the best defense in the NBA that has 2 7-footers, and they looked like ragdolls next to him.
Yeah, so, but foul grifting though.
Chris Finch wasn't happy. Friend of the pod, Chris Finch, was not happy.
No one's ever happy, Jake. That's the trick. That's what you got to understand.
So I don't know. He cost Atlanta 3 unprotected first-round picks. I would think that they will be looking to get that price back. The Sixers have 3 first-round picks available to them after the James Harden trade.
So are we talking about what, like a Marcus Morris Sr.'s expiring contract and a couple of picks go the other way and see if that's that deal? I mean, there are worse ideas. And, yeah, you know, you're right. Like, we've talked about, I mean, obviously, it's the deal, the contracts that came back from the Clippers were very pointedly 1-year expiring contracts that could then be redirected and repackaged.
Re-aggregatable.
Yes. Much like your reporting. but Nicholas Batum, I think, has played himself out of that discussion by how perfectly he's fit next to Joel Embiid as sort of that, like, what if you made PJ Tucker's usage rate out of just pure offensive efficiency? Robert Covington.
So the anti-PJ Tucker, the opposite of PJ Tucker.
Yeah. I mean, so I think his usage rate is literally like 7.1% since he got to Philly, but he's shooting like the true shooting is like 715 or something. Like, it's just, it is the inverse, the funhouse mirror inverse version.
The factorial.
I'm remembering like grade school math terms because that's the ones that I've got to help with homework, but we're going to have to move a little bit further up the ladder for me to remember what factorials are.
I remember nothing, but
yeah,
I got a 5 on my Calc BC high school exam that allowed me to test out of that in college. So
I super did not get 5s on my AP calculus test.
Quick tangent, just to make fun of myself,
but
also give myself a compliment. I used to be so good at math.
That's how you do.
That when the league had like the NBA had a hackathon years ago, I remember when I was at Sports Illustrated, and I found out about it, and I was like, oh, for a story, I'm going to enter it and like see how easy it is to win. I was horrible. I didn't even come close to placing. So that was a nice, pie.
Then you go, it's like all MIT people and people who are like rocket guidance systems who are, you know, spending that brain power on figuring out that 3 is worth more than 2. it's a little bit of a different ball game there. But all that to say, I think Philly, among the contenders, you know, sort of going down the standings, like, I don't think Orlando is in a position where, I mean, we've been trying to find guards for the Magic for years, but like, they actually seem pretty happy with where they are right now. Yeah. And they seem like they're more likely to, you know, kind of keep, you know, incremental movements. The Knicks, that feels like if they're going to make a swing, it's going to be it's either going to be a smaller positional move now that Mitchell Robinson is reportedly going to be out for the season or has a chance to be out for the season, and or the ultimate big swing, which whatever that would be. So yeah, I mean, in the East, I don't know. Cleveland, we just talked about being up in the air. Miami, they've got a bunch of backcourt stuff to figure out. And in the West, a lot of teams that are just guard heavier that have a lot of answers there. So I'm not so sure there's a better fit among real good teams than Philly. That would be a really interesting one.
Yeah. The last one, Oklahoma City. They are very good. They are arriving ahead of schedule, if you will. They have 17,000 draft picks over the next 5 years to where,
give or take.
They have already, you know, traded out. They've traded 3 picks with the Knicks to move up like a couple of spots. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like using first round picks like Monopoly money to the point where one would think, oh, maybe they'll just use 4 of them to go get someone right now and help this thing win a title.
Right.
Then Sam Presti publicly is saying, no, we're just eating breakfast.
Yeah, we haven't even finished our breakfast.
Basically telling all those people to shut the fuck up. So there was someone I was talking to yesterday who has some connections to the franchise who was saying to me, yeah, I'm taking Sam at his word. They are not going to make a move unless it's truly someone that they think is an absolute title swinging. Like, this guy coming in is going to make us be the favorite in the Western Conference, not just a team that's got a shot. The favorite. And to be honest, I don't really know if that player is out there right now. I don't know if the Larry Markkanen, you know, connections that are being made around the league. Like, I'm a huge fan of Larry. True all-star talent. He's so good, man. He is so, so good. I don't know, though, if you put him on the Thunder's roster, you snap your fingers and say this team is the clear-cut favorite in the Western Conference. So I'm asking you, Dan, if you were in the big chair down in OKC, would you just do any type of win now move that's like a smaller margin thing? Would you do a Larry Mark? Like, what would you be trying to accomplish here, being that you are armed with the most draft capital in the league and have the 2 seed in the Western Conference currently on your hands? Regardless of what we think they're actually going to do, I just want to know what you would do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a coward. I think we should start there. So I would probably be risk averse. I probably would be a little bit more likely to say, well, we're pretty freaking good right now, and we don't have to dramatically upset the apple cart. But I think the question for me is, like, you know, you absolutely, you framed it right by saying, like, I don't know who that player is that's out there, right? Because, I mean, you had set the table in the piece that you wrote, but and there's been discussion about this in terms of, like, the Knicks being looking for that big star hunting, whatever. And it's like, but, you know, Embiid's not going anywhere when the Sixers are this good, and Karl-Anthony Towns isn't going anywhere with the Wolves leading the West, and, you know, insert other superstar level player here who would be a fit anywhere is not going to go because those teams are just that good. And so we wind up so often going back to that, like, what do the Toronto guys do? So to me, it's like, if there was a pathway for, and that's not like, this is the no-brainer superstar that puts you over the top forever, but, like, if there was a pathway to something that was cobbling together $17 million or so for them to get Anunoby.
Davis Bertans' contract.
Yeah, or if it needs to be, like, if from the Raptors' perspective, and obviously this is complicated by real life off the court events that continue to unfold and be investigated, but if the Raptors would look at it and say, instead of Davis Bertans' money, we want Josh Giddey as a player, right? Or, you know, Josh Giddey plus Trey Mann and draft capital or whatever, you know, you cobble together the, you know, yeah, 6.5 and 3.5 and whatever, you know, Vasily Micic, you know, whatever, like the, you know, Frankenstein together the money of players that might be of more interest for as the Raptors are retrofitting their team around Scottie Barnes. You know, the Thunder are overflowing with different styles of guys that they can make you an offer with, and, you know, round out sort of the buffet plate of what you would like your offer to look like. That to me is one where you would say, all right, we're sort of cashing in some of our future potential for someone that we have seen play an important, be a very good player in a very particular kind of role in very big games against playoff opponents. And that maybe fits something that we don't have, which is like Jalen Williams is playing as like a 6'5" tank playing up and defending up. But, and, you know, Lu Dort very much the same, but a bigger wing for when you get into those series in the West to deal with your Kawhis and your Paul Georges and, you know, muscle up against LeBron or muscle up against Aaron Gordon or whoever, that I could see that, who also is a plus 3-point shooter on catch and shoot stuff, like, fits into the construction of their team a little bit more neatly, I think. But everything I just said for why I think that would make sense for Oklahoma City is all of the reasons why Toronto is continuing to say, like, give us your best offer, and has been doing it for 2 years without ever getting one they like, because from the Raptors' perspective, this is the player that every single team in the NBA should be rushing to, you know, offer hand over fist, whatever they can get. And, like, it makes sense, but also there's a reason why no deal has happened, right? So whether that's a realistic possibility, I don't know. But I think that's the kind of player that, to me, I look at it and say, if I could mortgage a chunk of what I've got and turn some of my current rotation into that, that's what I would do. But, you know, more likely, I mean, so much continues to depend on, like, just how willing Toronto is to do anything, which, you know, anybody's guess.
I also think, last thought on the Thunder, I'd be surprised if they went out and really went and added someone if that person wasn't on a long-term deal, being that Oklahoma City is not exactly a market that traditionally tons of guys want to play in. There are plenty of guys who do, like, Kenrich Williams will be the flag bearer for how lovely a town Oklahoma City is and what a phenomenal franchise it is through and through. Chet Holmgren seems psyched to be there. By all accounts, that's where he wanted to go. So there are definitely guys out there who are going to look at that situation and be like, sweet, sign me up. That's where I want to be. But I think, traditionally speaking, the Thunder are going to be a team that is always aware of that geographical dynamic, let's say, and bringing someone in who's got 2-3 years left on their deal, kind of like Donovan's situation when Cleveland did bring him first round. I think that's going to be a factor. That's just me kind of piecing together the tea leaves. Speaking of tea leaves, I'm just kidding. Christmas Day's here. Not
could,
right
you
now.
You could say, I mean, people give one another tea on Christmas. That's, you know, you could say that, I guess.
I was trying to make a tree leaves combo.
Tree leaves. You know what? Jake, you're a professional writer and a professional broadcaster, and I'm sorry that I missed that. That's my fault.
I mean, it was not a very smooth transition by me. I'm so tired. I don't even know what happened. I was saying before we recorded, I just went to like dinner with, I didn't have a sip of alcohol. I'm just beat. I'm tired. But here we are.
You got to zag. You got to start getting hammered before the show. That's really where the magic lies.
Yeah, 10 a.m. in the morning before then go stand on my feet for 11 hours in the high school cafeteria that is the G League Showcase. We've got 5 Christmas Day games, all presented to a national audience. We are going to, I guess, determine which of these games are presents under the tree, stocking stuffers, or coal. And to do that, we have Dan Devine. So, Dan. Yeah.
I'm not in Orlando chatting up the league, trying to, you know, scour the all my sources for information. I'm just like looking up a bunch of stuff about what's happening on Christmas because I got to write a big Christmas Day lead up thing that's got to get done by tomorrow because, you know, Christmas is nothing without deadlines. So there's a lot of research has gone into this, and I can think of no better way to collate it all than to determine which of these games are presents, stocking stuffers, and coal.
Well, let's not burn all of your research right here. Let's keep this moving kind of quickly. Sure. But first, noon, Bucks at Knicks. I'll be there. What say you about if this game is a present, a stocking stuffer, or coal?
Present! I think it's a present, and the reasons that I think this are as follows. Okay. They've played twice this season. They've both been entertaining games. They've had huge high-scoring numbers in them. The Bucks won both, despite Jalen Brunson going for 45 in one, Randall going for 41 in the other. The Bucks have made 43 threes in two games against the Knicks. So they're going to have, like, there's the possibility or the likelihood of offensive fireworks, two top 10 offenses. The Bucks have also been just, like, way better than top 10. Like, for all the sort of discussion about how the Dame Giannis pick and roll hasn't been exactly what everybody's figured it would be, and they've not running it as frequently, and they're still sort of awkward and whatever, this has been the number two offense in the NBA for the last, you know, since the beginning of November, number two half court offense all season. They score like gangbusters whenever Dame and Giannis are on the floor. They're like insane when Middleton's on the floor with them. Like, it's the offense is great. And the Knicks are going to have a really hard time stopping it. So they're going to have to score to match up with it. And I think the opportunity is there for a very exciting game in that way. So I think present.
Present. We'll take it. Okay. Let's just keep it moving. Warriors at Nuggets.
Now, this one I struggle a little bit with. As you could tell by in the rundown, there's like a 15-word answer to this question.
I'm not seeing that.
Stocking stuffer, but there's a high variance here. Because it could be a really good stocking stuffer, like when my parents gave us a book of David Letterman's top 10 lists that fit like very into the stocking when we were kids. It was a tall, thin book, and it fit really neatly into the stocking and made for lots of fun laughing.
Tall and thin like Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, he's very slender these days. That's right.
He looks really good.
And but it could also absolutely be a lump of coal, depending on how the game plays out. So like, if you were at full strength, right, this would be a real styles make fights kind of war because the Nuggets are gigantic and they want to overwhelm you with their size. And we saw, you know, the way that they just leaned on the Heat in the finals and like everybody being positionally big and they could just pound the glass and pound the paint. And then the Warriors are the antithesis of that, right? And it's small ball, spread you out. And it's like Jokic versus Draymond and that, you know, that counterpoint and Steph's movement and how do you deal with him off the ball and all the shooting, all the spacing, everything that they do there. And Draymond being out because he is serving an indefinite suspension for multiple incidents of on-court violence takes a little bit of the luster off of that. We are now left to be like, well, maybe the fact that the Warriors are giving more minutes to Brandon Pajemski and Trayce Jackson Davis and leaning more
TJD.
And who's looked great and has given some juice and blocked some shots and like been useful. Youth is served. It's just not the youth that they spent the number two pick on and, you know, gave $120 million to. It's a different youth, but that's okay. Like that's fine. And there is a reason to believe that things are starting to get better. Klay Thompson's finally heating up. He's made, I think, 23 threes in the last four games. Like, there's a chance that you can get a lot of high scoring offense, that you can get those guys, you know, just firing up threes and matching Jokic and the Nuggets bucket for bucket. There's all, you know, I'm never going to tell you not to watch Stephen Curry when you get the opportunity to, or Nikola Jokic when you get the opportunity to. But I think while it's very possible that you get like a lights out offensive showcase for these two teams, it's also possible that Jokic just dominates the game. The Nuggets or the Warriors have no answer for him. Steph gets blanketed by all the size in the perimeter a little bit. The helpers aren't helping, because remember, we're still talking about like a 13 and 14 Warriors team that's not particularly good at anything right now. And by the third quarter, you're like looking at like a 25 point game and wondering, you know, what else is on cable. That's spoiler alert, A Christmas Story. You can find A Christmas Story anywhere. But I think there's a chance that that happens. But I know we're trying to stay optimistic here and keep hope alive in this Christmas season. So let's say stocking stuffer and hope for the best.
The next game, Celtics at Lakers, where the Lakers have lost four or five, which is interesting to me, being that in Vegas, all the talk was, man, are the young plucky Pacers going to have a letdown after the in-season tournament run? It's been the veteran Lakers who have had a letdown after the in-season tournament run.
Everybody looks pretty exhausted after having been out in Vegas and then going out on the road for a while. So it could be hitting both of them. But you're absolutely right. The Lakers and some pretty yucky losses too. Like, I mean, obviously we all know that the Bulls are, you know, the second coming of the actual Bulls now that Zach Levine's out.
I'm just kidding.
You threw them under the bus.
I went to my Magic, the Kia Center last night. The first game ever as the Kia Center, and I'll say I'm trying to tick off
jump
all
over it.
No, he didn't. I had that same thought though, exactly when I woke up to a press release saying this is going to happen, embargoed till 9 a.m. The game ops experience at the Kia Center was lovely, and my Magic lost, but that's okay.
As long as the game ops experience was lovely, that's really all you're looking
for. But back to Celtics Lakers game ops at crypto.com arena.
I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. I imagine, you know, Will Ferrell will be there looking fun. A lot of celebrities.
Will he be dressed as Buddy the Elf? That is a new gambling odd I expect in my email inbox tomorrow.
Ooh, I'm sure. Yeah. yes. I look forward to finding out what the odds for that are and, you know, forwarding that to somebody else, to my favorite degenerates in my life. Merry Christmas to them. I am going to say present. Again, spirit of optimism. You are right to note that the Lakers have been on kind of a downturn here. They are only 1-4 after winning the in-season tournament. They've got underwhelming losses to the Spurs, to, you know, the Knicks team that was on a road trip and after had just lost their starting center, to the Bulls. You know, haven't looked particularly great. LeBron's still incredible. Anthony Davis, legit player, defensive player of the year candidate. But like, that's kind of it. A statistical site that I like to look at, dunksandthrees.com, has a player ranking stat called estimated plus minus. Estimates your impact on the game per 100 possessions. High number is good, low number is bad. LeBron around like plus 7, AD around like plus 6. Next is D'Angelo Russell, barely above 0. And then everybody else negative. And this is not everything. One number does not tell you everything, but it gives you some back of the envelope math where you're like, that about tracks with the eye test, where those two guys, when they're on the court together, the Lakers are pretty good, like elite defensively, only average offensively, and they just do not have enough juice from anywhere else. That has been the theory of the case behind why you would go get Zach LaVine. It's been the theory of the case for why every time there's a shooter, a ball handler with juice, whoever sort of on the market, they get connected to the Lakers. It's like they need something else in terms of floor spacing, in terms of creativity, some snap and some pep on offense.
They need more Taurier and Prince.
Stop with the noise. You know what? You held on to that for a while. You haven't done that noise in a while. And you could see my fists are balled up here. The memes. Oh, my God. Anyway, Jesus Christ. Well, yeah. It's the Christmas season. Yeah. Happy birthday, Jesus Christ. So the Lakers, the glass half full side is, while the Lakers are bad in regular games, we've seen them be good in marquee games. They were undefeated in the in-season tournament. The Christmas Day game is a marquee game. LeBron is like Mr. Christmas Day. He's going to have every freaking record in the Christmas Day record books by the time it's all said and done. So if the Lakers can give you a good game, the Celtics, I mean, at this point, we've talked to, I know, so, you know, a ruthless plug, had Josh Gondelman on Divine Intervention last week before I started throwing up to talk about the Celtics and fandom. The Celtics have been the best team in the NBA front to back so far this season, 21-6, top five in both offense and defense, shooting the lights out. When they have Porzingis on the floor, they're a wrecking crew. So you're going to get a good game from the Celtics, I feel reasonably confident, but also the idea of Anthony Davis being the big who can deal with them defensively, LeBron just, you know, seeing the Celtics and then, you know, seeing red, you know, there's an opportunity, I think, for some, and then just the seeing the Celtics versus the Lakers in a big game, there's always the vibes to that. So I'm going to hope for the best there. But if you're just talking about quality of teams, the Celtics should stomp over the Lakers at this point, especially the Lakers looking kind of gassed at the end of a very road heavy schedule before and through the in-season tournament.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. The Sixers at Heat. I don't know what time that game is at. It's not listed here. Jaime Jaquez, my new favorite NBA player.
What makes him your new favorite NBA player? That game, by the way, at 8 p.m. Eastern.
We shared similar appearances. Not totally. He's 6'8" and has a goatee. But I love his hair and I love his game.
Listen, Jake, big up yourself, man. I love that. I love that for you. I love how you love you. That's wonderful.
Thanks, man. I was wearing my Camel cigarettes branded jean jacket yesterday. And someone I know who's a pro personnel guy came up to me. He was like, man, you're just so comfortable in your skin. He's like, I would never wear that here.
I'm surprised he didn't ask you to bum a smoke.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that at the end of the show. That ties into the story I have for the listeners.
Sixers at Heat.
Present Cole, stocking stuffer.
We're going to continue my train of optimism here. I'm going to say present because I think as long as if you get healthy, the main guy's healthy, the sort of stew of vibes here should result in something really entertaining. Obviously, there's interwoven connected history here. Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler, the Tobias Harris over me, Jimmy Butler and the Heat knocking the Sixers out of the playoffs a couple of years ago. There's the just general Eric Spoelstra being a warlock. What's he going to throw at Tyrese Maxey now that Tyrese Maxey's bumped up the pecking order and the scouting report. There's Embiid in the middle of a frankly absurd run, mounting a very legitimate second MVP case and going up against, for my money, maybe the best all-around defender in the NBA and Bam Adebayo, but obviously Bam at such a size disadvantage, and we saw how sometimes it's only but so much that he can do against the Goliath, where he had the problems with Jokic in the finals. Embiid is now averaging 35.1 points in 34.1 minutes per game, dishing six
That's
assists
more points
a game.
Than minutes.
More points than minutes. I think 54% from the field, six assists a game, best passing season of his career, playing maybe the best consistent defense of his career, too. We've always known that Joel is Defensive Player of the Year caliber impact when he cranks it up, has only rarely cranked it up consistently. Doing that this year, he won the MVP and is better. And I don't know if that sounds hyperbolic. It's not. You go by the counting stats or the impact stats, all the stuff that Jokic used to just dominate all of, estimated plus minus, win shares per 48 minutes, player efficiency rating, whatever. Embiid has either overtaken him in a lot of those or really narrowed the gap in a ton of them while just being even more dominant on the court, even with Harden gone, which then created the opportunity for Maxey to be a full-fledged all-star. So all that said, I'm making the case for the Sixers, but the Heat, they're 16-12, just a game out of fourth place in the East, despite being below average on both ends of the court again. And the story again is they never have their dudes. Jimmy's missed, I think, six games. Kevin Love's missed seven games. Bam and Caleb Martin have missed 10 games. Hero missed 18 games, just came back. Tyler Hero, by the way, there was this all the discussion in the offseason about what can you really get for him? Is he going to be a worthwhile chip to flip in a Dame deal? there was the conversation the year before that about like, is Utah really going to want him for Donovan Mitchell? Like there's all of this conversation is generally about like why Tyler Hero isn't good enough for these sorts of deals. Tyler Hero's a little bit under, let me get the numbers here, right? A little bit under 25-5-5 per 36, shooting 47% from the floor, 42% from three and 90% from the line this season. He's only played 10 games so far, so the sample's small, but when he's been on the court, dude's been killing. And like, they've only had Jimmy Bam and Hero together for 136 minutes this season, and they're 16-12. Some of that is because of your doppelganger, Jaime Jaquez Jr. But you know,
I don't want to go that far.
But. Okay, fair enough. That's me talking. That's me bigging up Jake in a way that Jake wouldn't even big up himself. But
I would love to be 6'8". Holy shit, would I love to be 6'8".
Listen. You want to think, you know, talk about like just like the cruel hand of fate. My dad's 6'3", my brother John's 6'5", my brother Michael was 6'2", my brother Eddie's 6'2", 5'10". Just like, like
the runt of the litter.
You get to like 16 and you're like, any day now, and just fucking nothing.
You're so just
like,
waiting for the hormones to kick in.
Yeah, and you know what? 41 years old and still waiting, my friend. But I got to have that Gattaca surgery where they break my legs and add some shin bones, and then I got get up over 6 feet. Then everything will be all right for me. Duncan Robinson playing well. Josh Richardson fitting back in. Haywood Highsmith, for God's sakes. The Heat have always enough to make you miserable. And if Jimmy Butler is there, Jimmy Butler feels like a guy who would just play the Grinch on Christmas. So yeah. I'm hoping that Jimmy plays. If Jimmy doesn't play, then, you know, yeah, maybe all bets are off. But if Jimmy's on the floor, Bam's there to do battle with Embiid, and you've got the mix of you know, talent and guts and wherewithal and whatever else and all the stuff that they put on the Heat culture court, I feel like the math leads toward entertaining game that's tight late. And then we find out, we see Embiid going against, elite defensive players again, trying to prove to everybody why this is his second MVP year. I feel like the conditions could be really good for that.
Our last game of Christmas, Dallas at Phoenix. I'm guessing it's going to be 10:30 Eastern time, just how the calendar typically works. Man, a real clash of one team that seems to be all good vibes, even though, you know, no Kyrie, that are glad he's been in and out of the lineup. Phoenix is just, I don't know, man. I'm at dinner last night, the conversation was largely centered around, if you could do it over again, if you're Phoenix, would you not trade for Bradley Beal? That was kind of a big sub conversation of the overall conversation. So is this a present, Dan, or is this Cole?
This is the closest I'm going to get to Cole. I don't want to be a super big hater. Some of this is informed by my own set of circumstances. There's a really good chance that by the time we get to 10:30 on Christmas Day, I'm not going to feel like staying up late. So I'm not like wishing into existence that this is going to be a bad game. But I think you're right. You look at it and say, you know, Kyrie Irving out, you know, an extended period with the ankle injury. No Bradley Beal because he just hasn't been able to stay on the court. Derek Lively not being there is a real, or potentially not being there. It remains to be seen. He sprained his ankle against the Blazers over the weekend. He's missed the last couple of games. He's a really important piece for the Mavericks and has been like a really exciting addition for the Mavericks. If you haven't caught a ton of him, he's gone under the radar a little bit nationally because he is like the third lottery center in a draft in a year that's had Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. But he's been freaking awesome and really important for the Mavericks, like roster construction and the way that like giving Luka a dive man has been a godsend, who also can understands how to play defensively despite being 19. So you're down a couple of stars. You're down a couple of guys who had some juice. There's stuff to hang your hat on, right? There's the Booker Luka beef, and there's like the stuff that goes back a couple of playoff series ago, and KD is KD and could go for 40, and Booker has been pretty awesome at the point this season. Luka has been, you know, on a run of 30 point games and, you know, triple doubles and shooting the lights out, and like there's superstar talent, so you could see into great individual performances, but it just feels a little bit more like you're not going to see either of these teams at their best selves right now, and as a result of that, there's maybe a chance that this is one that you could feel okay about tucking in early. So I would love to be proven wrong. I'd love for all five of these games to be presents under the tree. No Cole anywhere. you know, everybody's been on the good list all season, whatever. and maybe we'll, you know, we'll all ride out the night into the late hours together. But my guess is that if there's one that you're going to be able to skip out on, it might be this one.
Well, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, Dan. I hope you enjoy all these games. I hope you get presents in real life that you're hoping for as much as these games that you want to be presents turn into something that makes you smile and warms your soul.
Jake, I want one present from you.
Yeah.
Tell me a story.
So I wasn't leaning into the Jaime Jaque as being my doppelganger. I've resisted leaning in and outwardly saying and claiming the nickname the People's Insider. However, because I do think it's lame when people try to make their own nickname. But I didn't. This was given to me. It was bestowed upon me by the people. So I'm gonna wrap my arms around it truly because of what happened to me last Saturday at what was my 17th and final wedding of 2023.
Wow.
We went through the gambit, we did it. We have two more in January. Then we're really off for about a couple months. It was my girlfriend's very close friend from high school's wedding. So at these events, there are plenty of people who are like loosely related, loosely connected to people in my life that have, like, you know, someone she went to high school with, someone's cousin that she's friends with, random people who are also then finding out what I do for a living and wanting to ask me all the things about the NBA.
Very dangerous thing in sort of mixed company public settings. We can wind up in a lot of conversations you don't want to be in.
Yeah. Usually, I just kind of, when people ask what I do, I just say, oh, I'm a writer. Leave it vague. People go, oh, what do you do? What do you write? Well, I just like observe things and jot them down. I try to keep... Maybe it's the point of like being aloof that I need to probably reel it back in. But we had the rehearsal dinner and just like one boyfriend of a friend, like listens to the podcast. He's like, hey, the thing with Dan Devine's pretty cool. I was like, oh, thanks. So flash forward to the next night, wedding's fun. Definitely got after it a little bit on the dance floor, more so than normal. Because I'm not trying to be the center of attention. It's not my wedding. I'm not here to attract all the eyeballs. But it was a good time. So people are feeling good. The happy couple says, hey, everyone come back to our suite for post game. So we go, we change, come up to the suite. And there's some extracurricular activities being taken place at the dining room table. There's some people playing a trivia game. And then someone says, hey, I'm going to go smoke on the balcony if anyone would like to come. So I have fully obliged. But this wedding took place in Jupiter, Florida. It was supposed to be a beach resort, like tropical experience. There was a tropical storm. If you watch the Carolina Panthers, Atlanta Falcons game on Sunday, that was over me the day before. So we go out to this balcony. It is raining sideways and there is no chance of sparking anything. But this guy, this loyal warrior for good times, is like pulling his suit jacket over his head, huddled in the corner, just like flicking a lighter. And I said, man, this guy's really committed to the cause, like for the team. And he pulls the jacket over his head and he turns to me and he goes, anything for the People's Insider. And I was like, excuse me?
Yes!
And he says, yeah. You're Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. It's an honor to smoke with you. And I just stood there, like truly befuddled. It was a moment where I thought to myself, you know, you're doing something right. You're doing something right.
You know, you're doing something. Whether it's right or not, I guess is really up to. It's maybe that's a matter for the courts. But I appreciate, like, listen, listeners, viewers, people who are hearing about this from someone else later, we appreciate you so much because sometimes it feels a little bit like you're just sort of stuffing a message into a bottle and throwing it out into the ocean and you got no goddamn idea if anybody's paying attention to it. But sometimes somebody's going to sacrifice their suit jacket to make sure that you can smoke outside and like let you know that they care. And that's really, Listen, I'm not going to speak for Jake. I'm not going to speak for super producer John Gennaro. I don't know why everybody else got into this game, but for me, it's for moments like that. To be able to be at a wedding and have somebody randomly say, hang on, let me make sure you can light this. Really, NC Armada, God bless you. God bless us, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, to see someone look at me as if I would have looked at Snoop Dogg was... It warmed my soul.
Slow down.
It really did.
Slow down. We can't... Jaime Jaquez, I'll give you. Snoop, we got to chill out. We got to ratchet it back a little bit.
We got to ratchet it back until next Tuesday when I don't know who will actually be our guest, but it'll be me and somebody on the next edition of No Cap Room on the Ball to Wine Podcast
Network.
Just
to clarify, I'm not planning to get sick again. We're gonna reorganize the holiday schedule a little bit. So ideally, there will be a divine intervention. There will be a No Cap Room, but I won't be on both of them. So hopefully healthy, but we're juggling on purpose, not by accident, with me moaning in a room somewhere like a ghost is trying to escape me. So that's Jake will have a fun different person talking to you, but you know, obviously you'll miss me, and so you'll want to come back when I'm back on the show too.
That's it. That's what's happening. So that's all we've got for you today. Thanks for John Gennaro for doing all the things he does to make this show look and sound great. Follow us on various social media platforms that are out there. I'm at Jake L. Fisher. That is at Your Man Divine. Subscribe to Ball Don't Lie on YouTube and whatever podcast platform you're currently listening on, and leave us a 5-star review. That would be great. We thank you for listening, and we'd appreciate it if you came back again next week for another episode of No Cap Room.